And that's the signal. It is 10:10. Welcome to the episode 94 of Coffee with the Coder. And welcome back to those of you who have been here since the beginning with the insiders portion. If you've just dialed in for the regular call, you should know we do a little training 10 minutes before the call. And if you'd like to be a part of that, be an insider, just come in at 10 o'clock or a couple minutes till, like we did today. So anyway, I am eager to get involved and get you some answers from Heather Bryans, our expert for today. But before we do, I'd like to mention that we do have a webinar coming up this week on Thursday. Heather is presenting on discharge status, where did they go, which is sometimes a big question, and it definitely impacts or can impact the hospital or organization's bottom line. So we invite you to be a part of that. We did mention a coupon that if you're coming to the session on Thursday and you use the discount coupon, you can purchase it for only $16. And so I'll mention that coupon again at the end. Just please help me remember that, Heather. And we'll get started right away. Let me give you this first scenario. Okay, I'm going to make it a little louder, a little bigger on my screen. This one is from a hospital. It's from our friend Ida. And she says, just wondering if you could ask the experts how an amputation revision should be coded in PCS, a.k.a. revised to a higher level, is still an a.k.a. That patient just had lots of healing issues, and they went to a higher level to try to make flap coverage that would heal. I remember back in ICD-9, there was a revision at a higher level code, but there isn't one in PCS. So how do I do that?
Okay, so the qualifier for the procedure is high, mid, and low. So you would report 0Y6, then complete with the upper leg identifying laterality. You would use C or D. 0 for the open approach, Z for no device, and then you would pick the level, 1 for high, 2 for mid, or 3 for low. So if you put those together, you get your PCS code.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All righty. Now we're going to go to a question from an inpatient rehab, and this is another friend. This is from Jody, and she says, is obesity considered a complication of type 2 diabetes mellitus? I have a doctor using the diagnosis statement, diabetes mellitus type 2 in obese. I do not believe it warrants a DM with code E1169, type 2 diabetes mellitus with other specified complications. The patient's BMI is over 40, and the doctor does order a nutrition consult. So how should we approach that?
Right. So obesity is not a complication of diabetes, so the reverse can sometimes be true. A physician would need to explicitly link the two. In the statement you provided, it doesn't look clear that the physician is linking those diagnoses. Rather, it appears they're stating that the patient is obese and that they also have type 2 diabetes. In this case, we agree with you and would not automatically make the assumption that they're connected without a query to clarify that. The case does appear to warrant a query for obesity in relation to the BMI, as morbid obesity, a BMI over 40, is a D-tier diagnosis in the IRF setting. The definition of morbid obesity also can include a BMI of 35 or more with certain comorbidities.
Thank you. Thank you for that guidance. Okay, now I've got one more question. And this one is from Anonymous. It's from a hospital emergency department. And Anonymous says, we're looking for best practice options for our organization on reporting injections and infusion services. Currently, the clinical staff enters these services when they're performed through the point of service charge entry. Often when we audit, services are not documented or times to support them are not documented, especially stop times, but they are billed. How do other facilities maintain accuracy in this area? Do coders or other staff validate the charges in the ER before they submit the claim?
So actually, not only in the ER, but other departments as well, as physicians' offices and clinics, we typically find big opportunities for accurate reporting and capture of injection infusion services. Every organization is just a little bit different in what may work with their current processes, but with that said, we strongly support a person validating the charges in the ER prior to claim submission. The person could be a coder or another staff member who's trained on the nuances of reporting injection and infusion services and the pending modifiers, especially when modifier 59 is appropriate. So across the country, some of our common findings we've seen are enzymes not documented, modifier 59 used inappropriately, the number of units for subsequent hours not reported accurately, and the number of units for provided substitutions or medications being appended inaccurately. And having someone who understands the rules for reporting injections and infusion services and then validating them after the charge entry will likely greatly reduce that risk.
Absolutely. And we do have a course on that topic at aqiq.com. I think it's just called Reporting Injections and Infusions. But anyway, it is very detailed in how you would choose and making sure that you get the right information there before you try to bill it. And I think you had a hand in that one too, didn't you, Heather?
Yeah, that's a really great course for anybody who's confused because it's informative in that there's a lot of examples of how you would do different types of services for different settings. So that's a great course to look into.
Thank you, thank you. That's all of the questions that I have today, but we have to do one more thing. We have to mug somebody. And for those of you who are new, that means we're going to give a free mug away. We invite your questions, either non-anonymous or anonymous, but the non-anonymous ones are in the running for the mugging. And so today that means it's going to be Jody or Ida, and I've got their names on slips of paper under the desk where I can't see them, so I'm going to find out who's going to get another mug because they've both won already before today. So let's see. Today's winner is Ida. Oh, my goodness, Ida, you have a big collection. I wonder if you're sharing with your coworkers. They should probably ask about that. Congratulations. We'll get this to you as soon as possible. And also, I invite your questions from everyone who's on the call and tell your friends because we just love bringing you this chapter and verse information about these tough questions. It's helpful in our world to find out the questions that other people are facing because mm-hmm. if we haven't actually faced that ourselves today, it might not seem like a big deal, but someone else is having a big deal from it. So, yes, our experts like Heather are just delighted to go and search down into the details and find out how to answer these. So thank you for being with us today. Did you have something else to share before we say goodbye, Heather?
I didn't, but do you want to mention the coupon one more time just so everybody is aware of it?
Thank you for reminding me that. Yes, yes, the coupon for the webinar, instead of $99, it'll be $16 if you use coupon code 16. And perhaps we'll see some of you on Thursday. The next episode of Coffee with the Coder is on the 27th of July, episode 95.